Bike. It's the bro show. It's Lucas and Jacob.
Yeah, I'm wearing camouflage today because we just got done hunting. Because we decided, why is everyone going to the grocery store buying meat and stuff? Why not go outside and kill a possum? So obviously when you go hunting, you will camouflage so the animals don't see you. We shot 4 possum, and now we're going to make stew.
I like how your camo is a Gap shirt. Like, even though you're wearing camo, you still want to wear one of the major labels, Gap.
Does that stand for something? I feel like Gap is an acronym. That can't just be Gap, right?
I think I just had a remote viewing psychic moment where I viewed them in the boardroom pitching Gap, and they said, well, we think there might be a gap in the market.
Oh.
That's how they did it. Let's just admit it. That's the founding story of Gap, for sure. Can you imagine? They'd say, well, we think there might be a gap for it. And then everyone in that boardroom bursts out laughing at the loudest roars of giggles.
Yeah, and then for the ads in the very beginning of Gap, that could literally be the ad. Have you ever been to the shopping mall and you can't find what you want? Well, it's because there's a gap in the market. That's why we're filling that gap with Gap.
Gap.
We sell men's, women's, and kids' clothes. Come in and enjoy. There's a bunch of different options to choose from.
I love that. We actually did not hunt today. I kind of want to start promoting an anti-hunting charity. So I just want to clarify that. But
no, but I've thought that too before. I feel like I've thought before. Okay, so like, Because I've like joked before, like, okay, I'm going to go hunting and stuff. And then I randomly would think like, okay, so like, is hunting problematic? But then I was thinking, wait, it's not problematic. It's more problematic to go to the grocery store and get meat.
We literally just had Chipotle that was full of chicken meat.
Yeah, but what if we're going on scales of problematicness? Problematic is going to the grocery store and getting meat, because it's this mass-produced meat where they're probably abused and in close quarters with each other.
Yes.
But then if you hunt, I'm not trying to endorse hunting. I just randomly wanted to have this little tangent.
Well,
I'm just saying hunting probably is less problematic.
Also in elementary school, I remember they always said hunting is fine because if we didn't hunt deer, there'd be too many and they would start to starve. So hunters have to hunt them. And in second grade, that made sense to me. I was like, oh, okay. So like we're hunting them for their own good.
Yeah, and isn't there a
thing
where...
Is that true, though? Was this propaganda I was fed?
I think it might be true, because isn't there also a thing where certain years people can't shoot that include whatever animal because there isn't as many of them?
Endangered, yeah.
Yeah, so it probably is true what you heard. Yeah, we just ate Chipotle and we did do a little TikTok test. Okay, so this has been a segment for a while on this podcast. Is the TikTok real or is the TikTok fake?
So our little sister, well, my little sister and your older sister, she informed us that there's something going around the TikTok world where people claim that when you order Chipotle online to pick up or deliver, if you use a female sounding name, you get small portions. Or if you use a manly man name, you get a big portion. Like, let's just say, for example, you order a meal for Helga and Derek. What's like a really like feminine male name?
Male name?
Yeah, because I was thinking Helga would get a big portion in this, but like what's like a dainty male name? Like Paul?
No, let me really think. Oh, this one. And I don't know why, but it is. Wally.
Oh, that, yeah. So if Wally and Helga both ordered a burrito, same ingredients, Helga's, since it sounds more masculine, might end up bigger. So we tested this for our dinner tonight. Jacob, what was your name?
Big Jake.
It literally said Big Jake.
It wasn't even trying to be more of, it wasn't a subconscious thing. Like, his name is Jacob and that means he's big. No, like, I made it. You just see it with your own eyes.
Big back Jake. Why is everyone always saying big back now? I've just heard it around the peripherals of life. And I want to know what the origin is.
Big back. Yeah, I actually don't know if I've heard that yet.
Yeah, I think the first time I heard it was like a year ago. This teacher on TikTok said, my students called me big backed. But so my name, I was first of all going to do, what was I going to do? Didn't you want me to put like little girl or something?
So like put something like Lil Pat or something,
oh,
you know?
Yeah. I ended up actually putting Sally.
Yeah, because that
Sally.
Isn't there that whole Nosui Kids rhyme, Little Sally Wacko? Yes, I just know that Iggy Azalea song, but you
and
know.
It's just sad because if I was working at Chipotle and Sally ordered something, I don't think I would consciously do it, but I think it's the people's subconscious. They're thinking Sally's not gonna eat all this, so they end up giving her less. So we evaluated the results.
Yeah, so we didn't order the same thing. I ordered a bowl and you ordered a burrito.
But they were both massive.
Yeah, like my bowl was like stocked up.
I thought Sally was a little dainty name, but it just proves whoever served us didn't have sexist subconscious undertones.
But also, I was thinking about it, really trying to analyze this whole thing. And so you know how when you order Chipotle not in person, they just have the name printed and stuff? Are they even looking at the name? I feel like it's different if we were calling up Chipotle and saying, okay, Big Jake wants brown rice, black beans, Sally wants this. But it gets to this point where I know for the most part, they are working at Chipotle. They aren't looking at everyone's name. They're just trying to fulfill the order. So they see brown rice, black beans, and then when they take the sticker after putting the bag or the product, then they see the name. I kind of feel like they aren't even paying attention to
somebody,
the name.
Some Chipotle worker who's listening, this is your time to have your voice be heard. Because I know they're looking at a little screen in there. I've seen the screen and I've seen the ingredients. But yeah, I don't know if it just goes off the orderer's name or the actual individual people's names for the order.
Well, like for each item has the name.
But so that might be on the little computer screen.
And
they
know,
don't
but
they aren't, the thing is, none of
subconscious,
this, none of this is conscious. They aren't looking at Big Jake and thinking, okay, let me give him more. It's all just programming from their past. It's a subconscious thing, you know?
No, yeah, it does get to this really scary point where you start thinking about this whole idea of, is everyone playing a character? So, I'm not saying that, like, I'm so woke I'm not a part of this. Like, I could be a part of it. But the whole thing of, like, okay, so if you're straight, you're supposed to do this. If you're gay, you're supposed to do this. Are we all playing this character, but we don't even know it?
How does our podcast always come back to this?
I don't mean we're fully reading a script, but it just gets to a point where, like, do we say and do certain things because we think, like, that's what people would expect from us and what people would think is normal behavior from someone with these personality traits. So then we just subconsciously adhere to that because it makes us feel more comfortable because people would be comfortable with that because that's what they would assume I would do too.
Yeah, and I think that is the thing. It's definitely happening.
Like, for example, like, if you're gay, people think you have sex with men, but is that just because people think that's what gay people do?
When some gay people don't want to do that.
Yeah.
That is true.
And same, like, do straight people just have babies because they think that's how that happens?
I don't know. I don't know the answers.
But, like, it gets to a point where, like, has someone ever had gay sex and really thought, I'm going to create a baby, but what is told it doesn't create babies? But has anyone ever actually been having gay sex and been actively thinking, oh, I can't wait for the newborn? I don't know if anyone has done that. So having gay sex and really thinking, I can't wait
for
a newborn kid.
That's definitely happened. Can you picture back in, like, the caveman days where they were running around from cave to cave? Like, I bet you there was some caveman society where two guys were starting to date and they were like, and then everyone was like, oh my God, like, are you guys going to have a baby? And then they kept trying and they're like, maybe it'll happen. But they said, and then the straight people even said, like, oh yeah, like, sometimes it takes a while. Then they just kept saying, like, I guess they're infertile. Like, I feel like it might have taken a lot of generations to be like, oh, it doesn't actually work.
Yeah, that.
But what
yeah,
if that's closed-minded?
Really good point.
What if it actually can happen?
whenever we say shit like this,
it's just the vibe of vision. Edible just kicked in.
And there's a vision in my head of someone posting this on TikTok, and then people actually thinking we're being serious, and then it's like, that's so funny if that.
Oh, that's already happened to us. We posted our own clips of the podcast, and then people think we actually have it. Like some sort of issue where we don't understand.
Yeah,
anything.
I mean, what I just said, I would have said even if we weren't doing a podcast because it is an interesting topic. But it's not like I believe it. It's more of just something to ponder on, you know?
But also the Pope Catholicism has all been, you know, really popular because the new Pope guy, everyone's like, oh my God, he's so hot. That's all a little side note. My main point was I heard recently that there was a priest in the 1600s who could fly. Oh. I already told Jacob about this. And that kind of brings me to, we don't think we can fly, but this priest was probably doing some Chris Angel type trickery. And back then everyone just fell for it. But I'm just saying that kind of goes to like, we don't really know what's possible. Cause like, what if somebody can fly? Okay, we're 13 minutes in. I feel like this is the episode that'll send us to a mental institution. This gives the vibe of please lock them up.
No, but I am, days like this, I get so grateful for the society we live in because I feel like we are in a society where we can say this stuff freely and just, yay. But then even, I'm not even joking. I don't completely know, but even 70 years ago, like, wouldn't we have said to our family, oh, yeah, we're going to start a radio show, and they'd listen to this episode of the radio show and be like, yeah.
Okay, 5150. Is that even the right numbers?
I don't know, but we would be in like the state mental hospital. Those aren't a thing, I don't think, anymore, but like those were more popular back then, so like we probably would be in one of those.
Yeah, for sure.
If I'm saying 10 people happen. Fly.
Because it happens to celebrities sometimes. They're like, oh, they got, against their will, they got put somewhere. But that's, I think you have to say.
And that only happens if you're famous. I'm joking.
you have to say a lot more than you think people can fly, maybe.
No, but.
I don't think. Maybe, couldn't you picture if you were around Kris Jenner and you said you think people maybe can fly, she would have the ability to lock you up?
Yeah, I actually just flew into my mind what we were saying, but.
Oh, should we go to the next topic then?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, we might be on the new Vanderpump Rules.
Okay.
Okay, so. I know now that we said that it's going to be a headline on TMZ. Fred and his brother are going to be the new cast members of the Vanderpump Rules reboot. Let's talk about our moment on set. We actually were on set of the new Vanderpump Rules, guys. This is not a joke.
Yeah.
And we're like, the new people of it.
And what we say has power because I'm not saying that we're Kathy Griffin, but I watched one of her videos where she mentioned something about Stephen Colbert made her cry. And then I saw an article about it. So, like, maybe if we do say we're part of Vanderpump, it was like, we'll wake up tomorrow and, like, Yahoo Entertainment would say, like, these are the new stars. And it would just show me with my chopped lips and stuff. And I already know. Maybe I'm just being hateful to myself. But if we were the new stars, like, do you think people would say, like,
they'd say they live like, in the Midwest? No, like, what?
But, like, let's say they said we lived in WeHo. Like, do you think people would say, like, oh my shit, do you think people would say like these people?
People would be pissed. They'd be like, why are they the new cast? Like, it's not even pretending to be realistic. But we might be in the background of a scene. I don't know if they're going to use it. So we walked past Sir. This is like a month ago at this point. We were in Los Angeles. And we walked past Sir and they were actually filming. We saw them filming by the host stand. Let's give you all the deets, guys, for the new... Hopefully you guys are all Vanderpump Rules fans. It's a reality show.
I feel like so many people are hating the idea of this revamp, but so many people like Vanderpump.
Yeah. But the tea on the new cast, we saw these three young girls. They were, like, young. First of all, I was like, is this show about high schoolers now? They literally were, like, 21.
Yeah. They look super young and, like... And, okay, now we literally probably only saw 30 seconds of what was happening. But it did make me realize, and now this has nothing to do with Vanderpump, but just reality TV in general. It made me realize that, not trying to do an expose, but this isn't a reality show. Because I don't know what we were seeing, but they were at the host stand. And it kind of felt like, for example, me and Lucas filming a video and us recreating moments. So, for example, us walking in to Whole Foods and me saying, wait, we should say this joke. And that's what them filming reminded me of. It felt like they said something funny and they were like, okay, we need to re-say it in a more enthusiastic way.
Yeah, no, it gave the vibe of they were really on. Like, it gave the vibe of a performance. Honestly, I think we saw them at like the beginning of the season starting. So that might've been one of their first times showing up to set as now they're a reality star. Like, but also it made me think being a reality star would be kind of annoying because at least when we're filming videos, like if I'm giving it my all, I know it's going to be in the video. But like that whole scene at the host stand that we saw them filming where they actually were trying to do like jokes, have banter, like it might all just be B-roll. It might not even be used.
And then
most of it won't be used.
My eyes completely opened when I was watching the Beverly Hills reunion And there was a scene of Julie in her vehicle smoking a cigarette. And they were all like, oh my gosh, I bet you didn't think that was going to be in the show. And then it made me think, wait, when they're driving, when season is on, like when they're filming the season for any of these reality shows, every time they drive a specific vehicle that's meant for the show, the cameras would be on. I'm so confused. And also one of them said, I don't know who it was, but one of them said, because they were mentioning something that didn't air on the show. And they said, yeah, each season could technically be three seasons. And then it made me realize, like, that actually is so effing crazy. That, do you ever watch these reality shows? And I get to a point of thinking, wait, so why are these people in a fight? And then I have to reel up my brain and be like, okay, they're in a fight. We only saw 5 minutes of it, but it's way deeper than that because they deleted probably 2 hours of arguing at dinner earlier.
Oh, yeah. I saw Lisa Rinna on a podcast, and she said that she would get so bored at these dinners they were filming for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I watched that same podcast. I think it was the one with Katia.
Oh, it's the Jake Shane one, actually.
Oh, okay. Then maybe she said it twice.
But she said, like, she just wanted to get it over with. So she would just bring up the drama that they were all avoiding. She's like, I can't beat this dinner any longer. And I know the only thing they want us to film is me bringing up the drama. So let's just, like, they imagine just faking a whole 3 hour. It also seems like a waste of footage. Like, who's, they just fast forward through all that footage. Like, an editor isn't actually watching every second, right?
Oh, yeah. You, 3 hours, you couldn't watch that. And then the classic thing with reality shows. So two people meeting for lunch because they're in an argument. They don't start arguing until their main entree has come in. And you always are wondering, okay, if you actually want to fight with someone, you wouldn't be sitting with them for literally probably somewhere between 10 minutes and 40 minutes, even up to an hour, for an entree to come before the argument starts. It gets to a point where it's like, are they just on their phones or they're just chit-chatting about, like, small talk? Because if you're actually in a fight with someone, wouldn't you just get to the DJ right away?
I can also see they order before. They're sent a menu on the drive there, and they pick their food so it comes out right when they get there. So then also the producers, like, they don't have to wait for 15 minutes for no reason. All, like, pre-planned. Okay, but later that night after we saw the Vanderpump Rules thing, we were like, let's go get a drink there so we can watch it. So before we walked in, this producer was outside and they said, so you have to sign this whole contract to come in because you might be on camera. So you have to, like, make sure you aren't going to sue us. It was me, Jacob, and Matthew. I'm the only one who signed it.
Okay,
so if you guys are in it, your face is going to be blurred. And also that producer was kind of leaning in because, like, she wasn't even making sure if anyone signed it. I don't know why I think signed this 10-page contract. But I thought I had to go in, and I wanted to see the action so bad. And
I'm sure whatever you signed.
We did look it over, and it said that I was okay with being recorded without. It said that they could have, like, hidden microphone devices. It said, like, you're okay with being recorded even in situations where you would think you wouldn't be recorded. Like, you know, on these reality shows, like, they show someone, like, and they might think they're not mic'd anymore. They might think they kind of have, like, a hidden camera moment. So who knows, maybe I did go pee in the bathroom, and that's an area where you'd think there wouldn't be cameras, but maybe they'll use the footage of me peeing. Maybe there was a camera in there, you know?
I know, maybe that would just be like, this guy was so gross or something.
But yeah, I just fast-forwarded through the contract and signed the bottom.
The reason why I didn't sign, because I was like Lucas, I was like, oh, I want to see what the new cast is doing. So I was like looking at, like, I wasn't like, actually, I'm not a lawyer, I don't know what any of, it's just how these legal terms, but... But then basically what happened is everyone went in. So then I went in and I was like, I didn't even sign this. So I'm not going to sign it. So that's the only reason why I didn't sign it. But we only were there for 5 minutes because it actually just felt like we were on a set. To me, it isn't fun being there when they're filming because you could just, there was cameras and, like, you could just, it actually just felt like I was on a movie set. So it was like, this is boring.
Yeah, I really just walked in, went to the bathroom and left because there was nowhere to sit. It was so packed. But we did see one of the new cast members getting coached by a producer, which that's all I wanted to see. I'm such a fan of Vanderpump Rules. I've been watching it since the beginning. So I was like, if I get a chance to see behind the scenes, I want to take it. And I got to see someone get coached by a producer. Like, wasn't the producer saying, like, yeah, just say it. And she was like, I don't want to say that. That's so, like, cheesy.
No, it was something. It was something exactly what you were saying. Basically, she must have said something in a to the producer one-off. By themselves, and then the producer wanted her to say it again, but she felt embarrassed about saying it.
Now, she was like, that's so embarrassing, like, but she's saying, that's so childish, I don't want to do that. And the producer was like, no, say it, like, you need to say your side. So that's just so funny. On these reality shows, they all have a producer who's their own, like, friend in a way, who's amping them up. Like, it kind of makes sense how they actually do get into these explosive fights because it's not just like a real life. Like, imagine if you weren't even annoyed at someone, but then the producer said, come on, like, make it a reality show moment. Get mad at them. I'd be like, you know what? I should.
But, ooh.
You ever had a friend all mad because you requested them to pay you back that $1.80 that you spent on their soda at the movies? Like, girl, of course I'm going to request to get my money back on Cash App. This podcast is sponsored by Cash App, and we've been using it for years now. Cash App is amazing. Signing up is easy and fast. And once you're in, it just works. It's quick. It's clean, and it lets you customize your payments with fun little messages and backgrounds. So even when you're being a little passive aggressive, asking someone to pay you back and give you your money, you can do it with flair.
I love that Cash App actually looks out for you. If something feels off, like you're sending money to a stranger named Definitely Not a Scam LLC, Cash App pops up with a warning like maybe think twice, like a protective best friend. But it's your bank account. And if someone doesn't have Cash App, sometimes I think like you should get on it because so many people are using it. It's such an easy way to transfer money.
For a limited time only, new Cash App users can use our exclusive code to earn some additional cash. For real, there's no catch. Just download Cash App and sign up. Use our exclusive referral code, LucasJacob, in your profile. Send $5 to a friend within 14 days and you'll get $10 dropped right into your account. Terms apply. That's money. That's Cash App. Thanks, Cash App, for sponsoring the pod. So I'm assuming that we won't be on the new season because it kind of gave the vibe of when we were in the bar for the 2 minutes we were there. I feel like it might have just been a B-roll moment. So I don't know if we'll actually be in the background, but keep a lookout for us. I'm going to add it to my IMDb. Background actor for Vanderpump Rules. If we're actually in the aired version. I wonder what I signed away to Bravo, though. I might have signed away this podcast to them unknowingly. Because I didn't read that 12-page contract, but let's hope for the best, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't actually expose anything, right? We didn't actually say who anyone was.
No, I'm saying they might just own this podcast now. Couldn't you say I signed a contract that says if you have a podcast, we now own it. If you have a house, we now own it. You know what I mean?
That'd be so funny.
And it's like, I guess I needed to see behind the scenes of Vanderpump Rules that bad.
That 5 minutes was worth it.
What if we find out that we are like a central part of the season? Like they made fun of us so hard and we were in there for those 2 minutes that like they keep bringing it up throughout the whole season.
I hope so, but I feel like they would cut that all out because it wouldn't make sense to the viewer.
Yeah, I know it wouldn't. But that was cool. So we're on our reality show.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I just found out the podcast title.
We were on a reality show.
Get that clickbait. So we also had some drama in the past week. Construction workers said, fuck you to us.
Yeah. So this is another one of those scenarios where it kind of reminds me of previously in the podcast when I was talking about how I accidentally parked in a handicap spot. It kind of reminds me of that because it's like, yes, what we were doing, I know it was bad, but we didn't know though. Like we actually genuinely, it wasn't the vibe of, oh my gosh, we don't want to go this way. It's going to take so long. We actually just didn't know.
No, it was just a morning in Colorado. We were filming a video, but we were on a little walk during a break from the set. But the funny thing is, like Jacob said, we were walking on the sidewalk and I did see there were cones. I saw the cones, but I didn't see any signs explicitly saying don't walk on the sidewalk. But I did see people were doing construction in a parking lot, not even on the sidewalk. So I was like, oh, the sidewalk's fine.
And just to preface this, there's been so many times when I'm walking, usually in these cities, there's construction happening and you just walk on the sidewalk.
I know, usually it's like, oh yeah, like enter at your own risk type of thing. But we walked past the construction workers. One of them actually got a little bit shady. The first person was a little bit passive aggressive. They said, the sidewalk's closed. And we were like, oh, oops, sorry. And he said, there's literally 7 signs saying it. But I was like, there's not 7 signs. That was an exaggeration.
That for sure was probably 1 sign.
Yeah, he had a RuPaul shade moment. It's like, girl, there weren't 7 signs. But I love the exaggeration. I love the reading. You're reading us the filth. But then the other guy, he got even more mad because I think maybe we came off too nonchalant when we got called out.
Oh, yeah, because
so he got triggered.
When we got called out, I think all that happened is both of us mumbled, or maybe we said louder, but I kind of remember mumbling it, saying sorry, because I actually did feel bad.
And it was like, oh, to the vibe where we were already so far onto the sidewalk that we had to keep going. It's like, if we turn around, we'd be more in your way. So we were going to speed walk out of this.
Oh, yeah, and we were almost out of the construction zone, so it wasn't like us turning on would have helped anything. We already did the annoying thing.
And then another guy said, get the fuck out of the way. I'm not going to cuss anymore. Sorry, guys. Get the F out of the way.
Yeah, he said something like that.
But he actually yelled. Imagine this. I'm picturing a guy with a beard who's like very like a bear, like this burly grizzly bear person. He said, F you, get the F out of the way. Get the F out.
Yeah.
But it was so weird because usually in those moments, I feel like I would get red faced or something. But I don't know what it was about this morning, but I was completely detached from the situation. Like, I didn't even really feel embarrassed because like you said, I knew I was doing something wrong. So it was just kind of an out of body experience.
Yeah, this was one of those times where I actually didn't feel anything. Like what I did feel was, oh, we probably we shouldn't have done this, but we missed the signs.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like this. Sometimes when people like cuss at you so loudly, you feel this thing of like, wait, am I a bad person? I didn't feel like that this time.
Yeah,
though.
Usually it would be a vibe of like tears forming behind the eyes, questioning everything. But I think I kind of just feel like all of our souls connected in that moment and we understood him. We're like, it almost was like, yeah, keep yelling, let it out. I get that that's annoying. But it also was like, I'm not affected by it though, because unfortunately there's nothing we can do now, you know? The milk's already been spilt.
Yeah. So
the cat's already out of the bag.
Yeah. So then it gets to this point. Well, to solve the whole question, they, in their minds, they thought that we saw the sign and we just kept walking. Okay, but that isn't the reality. We didn't see the signs. So now we need to get into a manager's standpoint. How would they let two people just be sort of chatting, I'm assuming? How would they let us know the sidewalk is closed? Because we didn't look at any of the signs because we weren't driving. I look at signs when I'm driving because it's like, okay, that would give me a signal of what's going to happen in the future. But while walking, like, why do you need to look at signs, you know?
Yeah, but also, I don't know if this is just my ego coming into play, but I actually don't think there was a sign. Because remember, we exited the other side and there wasn't a sign. So I wanted to let him know, like, unfortunately, one of the workers here didn't put up the signs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, there were the red traffic cones, orange traffic cones, but there was no sign saying sidewalk closed. So it's like, I wonder if he did notice that they didn't put up the signs later. Do you think it would have flashed through his mind, him yelling at us and just being like, oh shit, like, oops.
No, I actually, okay, if there wasn't signs on both sides, because we didn't see signs when we walked off, which there should be signs on both sides. If there wasn't signs, I know for a fact, and they walked past that later that day. I know for a fact, we went through their mind for a second, and they thought, oh, shit.
Like, it was more of an LOL moment.
Yeah, it was more vibe of, oh, okay, I was mad, and like they, but yeah, we didn't see any signs. But yeah, that situation was just so funny because it was one of these weird situations where these people are like kind of face-to-face yelling at you, but it wasn't like daunting at all. It was more of just, I kind of felt like what you were talking about. I felt this like wave of like Oprah Winfrey energy of being like, well, I'll just won and I did make a mistake, but I'm guessing you have too, right? That's actually what I felt in the moment. If I'm being going down to my soul, like I actually just felt like, yes, I made a mistake. So have you, so have you, so have you. Let's hug.
Oh, what will be,
K-C-S. What if we actually did say it? They said, get the F out of the way. They said, K-C-S, whatever will be. We would have got punched in their face, but.
Oh, yeah. But what was I going to say? Oh, I think it's also because I haven't been yelled at, like cussed at really. Like, I don't think really ever. So I think I kind of went into this vibe where I'm not kidding. At first, I didn't think it was real. Because until you confirmed it happened, I actually didn't really believe it. Because I was like, did he actually say that? Like, once we were farther away, you know? But then you were like, yeah, he actually did. And I was like, wait, that actually happened? I was like, I could have sworn that I was just...
Yeah, I get what you're saying because it sounds so ridiculous. But there also is, like, safety involved in this situation. So these people are being employed to do construction. they have a job to do. They have rules. Like, you can't just beat up someone for doing something wrong. So that's why it wasn't taken so, like, such in a framework of, like, this is kind of scary that they said the F word to us, this grown man. It wasn't that vibe, because if they would have done something, it's like, you're going to get fired now. But you know how if a random person, man, woman, anyone, said like, get the F off the road, I actually probably would be like, this is, I feel like unsafe.
That's so true.
I didn't feel unsafe because they were at their job. It wasn't actually a weird environment.
That's 100% what it was. I would be so scared if a random stranger told me, yelled at me like that. But yeah, he was wearing his little cap. He was in his construction drag. He was literally dressed up like Chapel Roan on the Giver cover. Isn't she dressed up like? Isn't she dressed up like that?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, like it's fine. That's actually so true. We knew it wasn't. It was just gonna be a little verbal thing. So it was like, oh yeah, like just keep on shading us and stuff.
Yeah.
End of that story time.
Yay!
So my next topic was, what are the bros reading? Book club. So right now, if I'm being honest, I'm actually reading a Spanish novel because I've been trying to learn how to speak Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Hola. But I'm reading that. So that's not really an actual book because I don't really understand it all because I just don't know how to, I'm not actually fluent yet. But before that, I did read an English book. Chelsea Handler's new book.
Oh, you told me about that. I want to hop on that.
I think it was called... I'll have whatever she's having. I've read all of her books, but I've loved all of her other books. And this one was so good. It was like, it was a new vibe for her. Like, it was still funny and just like her funny life stories, but it also was like kind of like spiritual. Like, she's like been going through therapy and stuff and meditating. So she was like sharing. It actually was kind of like a Oprah Winfrey type book, like sharing wisdom.
Oh, yeah. Cause she is a grown woman. So she would have wisdom to share.
You know, for sure. So it was I read it so fast because I just loved it.
So what is it like reading the Spanish novel? Like, you understand parts of it, you said?
I think I understand like 80%. Like, I always know what's going on in the story, but like, there's a lot of words where you asked me like, what does that word mean? I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
But I like still know it, the story. It's like this whole like gay book.
What?
Yeah, it's like a gay love story. Speaking Spanish.
Well, that'd be fun to actually go to a Spanish-speaking city, country, whatever, and, like, full-on just, like, try it, you know?
I know. I've actually...
Like, because isn't that the best way to... I know in Spanish class, there was, like, if you paid a certain amount or something, you could spend, like, 2 weeks in the summertime somewhere in... I think in Mexico, and, yeah, you'd live at someone's house. I forgot what that whole thing is called, but, yeah, you could, like... Then you'd fully be immersed in the culture and like fully understand.
Oh, you know, I've actually wanted to do a video where, like, I went to Spain after only doing Duolingo for 2 years. Like, what's next? Like, does it actually work? You know?
Yeah.
I actually used Babbel, not Duolingo. But also, I took Spanish in high school. So I feel like that already gives you like a foundation, you know?
Yeah.
But what are you reading? What's Jacob Crook reading?
I don't read. Like, I read, but I don't, like, finish books that much because I'm a really slow reader because I don't read that often. But right now I'm reading this book about this ATF government agent, which I think that means Alcohol and Drug Administration or something, federal agency. Yeah, and basically it's about this guy that investigated an outlaw biker gang. I don't know the title, but type in like outlaw biker gang if you want to read this book, Investigation. And it's not like a nonfiction.
It is nonfiction, right?
It is nonfiction. Yeah, I got those mixed up. It is nonfiction. Yeah, so he actually joins. I'm like halfway through and I'm not spoiling the book, but yeah, he actually joins the biker gang. And I the reason I wanted to read it is because I want to know more about biker gangs. Like, I know you probably hear about like Hell's Angels.
Yeah, honestly, when I think of biker gang, I think of the Lana Del Rey Ride music video. And that's sort of where it ends. So I would actually be curious too to know more about them. But
Yeah. I didn't really know anything about them. I just know that some of them kill people. But yeah, like it's just as crazy that some of these investigators, like this guy, they would do like really dangerous stuff to try to get people in prison, but then it just leads to this point where like they put their life on the line and like
I know
they
cause, like,
sometimes achieve it, but there's been of course situations where people die.
Yeah, because if at any point they found out that he was a mole, is that the right word for that?
Yeah, I think people use that, Tom.
If he was like a, yeah, undercover agent or whatever, just pretending to be a motorcycle gang person, like they probably would have like done horrible things to him. Like the fact that he actually, like it's like Miss Congeniality, the movie, but the way more serious because she was just undercover at a beauty pageant.
It also reminds, parts of the book remind me, if anyone's watching Nathan Fielder, the rehearsal, this is just part of, this is also not spoiling the book if someone's going to read it, but in the rehearsal, it's all about like planning the future and like planning your, like it's a comedy show, but it kind of has like real life meanings. But part of the thing is that he can't use his actual name because that's attached to what his job is at the government agency. So basically, the biker gang that he was joining is actually like run pretty smoothly, and they actually have like investigators that actually know what they're doing. You know how when you picture these outlaw biker gangs, you don't picture them to be all organized, but I guess some of it is. But basically, what I'm trying to say is why it reminded me of the U-Haul is because they create this whole fake identity, and they even have people at government agencies on call to be your mom, your dad, your
Oh my God, so you'd have to have all of
they
that.
They would even say what high school you went to, and they would somehow set up a number for that high school to be like, these were the classes he did, because they want to make sure you're like, that'd be the worst fail for these like biker gangs.
Make sure they're covered in every
aspect.
Like
we don't want this post, because they could ruin the entire gang like a undercover agent. And it just is crazy thinking like, this person could call 20 different people and they would come off as so real, but it's actually just fake. Like None of those people actually have any relation to this guy, really.
But what was I going to say? When did this take place? Like before social media, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. I think it's like the 90s or 80s. I think it was either the 90s, 2000s, or 80s.
I was thinking nowadays, being an undercover agent trying to infiltrate a gang or whatever you're trying to infiltrate, you'd have to come up with a whole digital like footprint as well. In reality, if you're like, you would have to go back to when you were like in seventh grade at least.
But
otherwise, it'd just be weird. I guess a lot of people don't have social media, but that would obviously be a little bit suspicious.
You could kind of get away with it just because, have you noticed that a lot of people do cleans of their social media?
And a lot of people delete their social media nowadays because they're just like, F this, I don't want to be around anymore.
Yeah, so I feel like, weirdly, that could be normal.
Yeah, but also another question I have was, did he have to be good at acting? Like, was that part of the beginning process? Do they have to, like, put him in an improv situation? Because what if you just, like, he's acting the whole time, but
well,
I guess
he didn't
just
talk about that, but he kind of did say he didn't say he was acting, but I guess he technically was because he said he grew a beard and stuff. Like while reading the book, I've thought so many times, like someone like me, I could never do this unless I actually put on a character. First of all, like, I just, obviously my YouTube channel would give it away, but if that wasn't a thing, like, someone like me couldn't do it unless I actually was acting, because I'm not trying to just be funny, but like, wouldn't they hear my voice and be like, okay, you're just like some gay guy that wants to fuck us. Like, we aren't going to have you. Like, you know how, if I'm being honest, if I actually was going to do this, I'd actually have to do a full makeover with everything.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't just go in with how I am.
But isn't it weird that doing a situation like that, it obviously would be hard, but it would be easier. It's easier to act in these improv type situations. Like, if you like for some reason had to join like a beauty pageant, like a Miss Congeniality, and pretend you're so into it, and you studied before about all the knowledge about beauty pageants, it'd be kind of easy to get into it once you're there because everybody else is being themselves. Whereas if you're on the set of a movie, I feel like that acting is harder because it seems all stiff.
Yeah, because everyone's acting, but you are right. Like if someone said, okay, your acting job today is to go to the mall and walk at Hollister and try to become friends with this girl at Hollister that was walking. I feel like that would be pretty easy to act, like to try to achieve that goal, because you're the only person that's aware of it.
That's so weird. But I feel like that's probably how really like amazing actors view acting, even in movies and shows. Like, remember, I heard Jennifer Lawrence say that like she never overthinks it because she's like, all it is talking, so why would I overthink it? She's like, if I start thinking about it too much, it'll probably be bad because so all I'm doing is talking. So,
yeah, you told me about that.
That's so weird because that is what acting is. But I feel like if you do overthink it, you do get all in your head and it obviously is bad.
To go back to the rehearsal, it's such a funny show. But did you watch like the episode from last week?
Like 2 days ago?
No, the episode from last week.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay. He said what you've said on this podcast before. And I was going to text you about it, but I forgot to.
What do you say?
The whole thing of doing a character makes people more confident.
Oh, remember, he said that?
He touched on something about doing a character. He realized when people did characters, they would do what they truly wanted, like that
oh,
guy.
Then he made them act out as characters. Now
but
I remember.
It's so weird because he was talking about that and he's like kind of doing studies, but it is true that if you viewed life as a character, like, I don't know if that's the best thing to do, you would be more confident.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
Because it kind of... And I know we just sound like we just did shrooms, but it goes back to what you were saying in the beginning. I'm not joking. It goes back to the whole thing of, are we just doing characters? Because it gets this thing of me saying, I'd be more comfortable if I was wearing a wig all day and no one knew my name. Okay, but that proves to me that every day I am doing, must be doing a character then.
Oh, yeah. Just like, I feel like it just makes you less, it makes it less of your ego being involved, so you're more free, I guess.
Yeah, because obviously I'm not doing a character. It just is, I have... protection over Jacob?
Yeah, I would guess so, yeah. But you guys should watch the rehearsal on HBO.
This new season.
Is it on HBO?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so this second season I love even more. It's all about plane wrecks. Are you listening to this on a plane right now? Just kidding. You'll be safe. It's very rare. You know, one person's listening on a plane.
Oh, my gosh. The idea of planes in the last 4 months for me or 5 months is like a... Whoa. Like, I feel like...
This has been a horrible year for planes.
December of 2024 to now, I viewed planes as so scary. And yes, I've flown like multiple times, but every time, like, I just get so scared. I don't get so scared. I'm not like having panic attacks, but.
Well, I guess that is so weird that he obviously was making this show like a year and a half ago. And then this year, when it debuts, is when the first ever like commercial plane wreck in the United States happened in decades. Isn't that odd?
I know, that's such a weird coincidence.
I know, but it makes sense why he made a show with this topic, though, because planes in general, even before this year, like, weird shit's been going on. I think it's because everyone records everything nowadays, but, like, didn't maggots fall out of the ceiling of one? Like, someone's head got sucked through a window. Someone's shirt got ripped off from a window, which, that gives perverted energy. Like, if I was sitting and my blouse got ripped off, I'd be like, okay,
blouse.
I'd say, what? I would just say, what pervert is the inspector on this plane? Because, you know, that was all a ploy just to see me shirtless.
Yeah.
But didn't that actually happen where someone's shirt got ripped off but they survived? I might be making this up, but I'm pretty sure someone, the window opened, the person sitting next to the window died, I think. But the middle seat person, they just got their shirt ripped off. Yeah, I don't know the full story, but I know a shirt got ripped off.
This makes me think about one of the funniest things me and Lucas have seen this year, because we actually were laughing so much, I remember. And I remember we were joking about, like, how do planes even get in crashes? Because this plane is doing this. We went in Melbourne, Australia, and we were just walking outside at, like, 10 in the morning. And it was a small plane. It wasn't a commercial jet, but they were doing so many tricks above the city. They were doing loops. Like, there was so many times. So me and Lucas are thinking, like, wait, are they almost going to hit that building? This looks dangerous. Like, they were having a day doing tricks, probably for a whole 15
minutes. I know.
Minutes.
I actually thought we were about to watch a suicide happen. So I, like, couldn't take my eyes off of it because I was like, are they going to wreck, like, on purpose? What is going on? Because they were doing a loop-de-loop after a loop-de-loop. And everyone was staring. Everyone on the street stopped and just stared at the sky because... We were like, what the hell is going on? I forgot about that till now because I think that's one of those memories where it seems too much like a dream that I think my mind wrote that off as a dream. But no, we actually saw this little plane do all these tricks doing flips for... And remember, it would go so high up and then it sounded like the engine turned off and it would start falling towards the ground. But then, it would shoot back up. Like, I think it actually might have been someone like contemplating... crashing or something.
Because it wasn't this thing of someone doing a trick, waiting 10 seconds. No, I mean, for literally 10 to 15 minutes, the whole time, invigorating. Like, and then I forgot what you were saying. There were so many times where that was scary. They would actually put the plane straight down and act like they were going to kill themselves.
But you have to admit, not killing yourself, obviously, but being on that plane, if you knew you would survive, would be the most fun you would probably ever have. Falling straight down towards a river, last second, shoot back up, twist, Mick twists,
this
loops.
This leads me to every now and then, they should shut down the entire city of, like, any city in America. And can you picture, they said, oh yeah, we're just going to, for this day, you can rent a vehicle for $500 and you get 10 minutes and you get to drive around the city. So what I mean is, I want to do stuff that I didn't kind of thought of. For example, be going so fast and then hauling into a ton. Like, I know you can do that at racetracks, but it'd be way more fun doing it in a city. So they need to shut down these cities every once in a while.
No. I want to shout out Mr. Beast from the Bro Show. He's a billionaire. I just saw it was announced today.
Oh my gosh!
He is a billionaire. And I think he might be the first YouTube billionaire.
For real?
I would guess. What other YouTuber became a billionaire?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah.
So, and I just want to do a little inspirational thing. I know a lot of people are against billionaires nowadays, but I just want to tell you about some of the first YouTube videos, because I read the article about this, and these are his first videos that made him famous that people probably don't know about. Because,
oh, is it those videos of him counting to 100,000?
Yeah, his first viral video, I guess, was counting to 200,000 on video. Anyone listening can do that. You might think, I could never be Mr. Beast. I'll never be a billionaire. Count to 200,000 on camera right now. But can you imagine if it didn't get views? But yeah, also, I don't get how that got views, because the watch time was probably bad. You know what I mean? Because no one's going to watch the whole thing. No,
okay, but I don't know if this is completely true, but I remember seeing that video in my recommended, like, probably, I don't know if I'm wrong, but almost a decade ago, or maybe a little bit less. But that I remember as like a YouTuber, there was actually a change in like somewhere in 2018. Where they actually started, it wasn't just I feel like back then you could literally title a video. This is so fucked up, but just saying, like, I had sex with my hand, and it would get 1 million views because people would watch 1 second. Back then, clickbait, era of clickbait. Well, no, it didn't matter if anyone watched it. They just had to click.
Was the video actually hours and hours long then?
I think so. I think, for example, I remember watching it, and by watching, I mean literally, I just fast forward through it and thought, oh my God, that's funny.
The idea is funny. So yeah, I get,
it's like a meme.
But these are he did a bunch of videos like this, reading the dictionary, reading the script of the B movie, saying Logan Paul's name 100,000 times, watching Jake Paul's music video for It's Every Day, Bro on repeat for 10 hours. Like, this is a lot of things that would maybe cause mental illness, but it didn't to him.
I know, because I already know if I was at my apartment and I said, okay, today I'm going to film reading the whole dictionary.
That'd be torturous.
Maybe I just have such bad willpower, and I don't think it's that. Like, I could do hard things, it seems like, but reading a dictionary, and I'm talking about unless someone was in the room, if it was just me, I actually think I would start hallucinating.
No, I think I would. I'm picturing if I started to count to 200,000, I think I would actually be sweating, crying, like, I think I would actually, I'd be to the point of no return by the end. I think I'd actually, like, it would go viral, because it would say, like, he actually is, like, he's never allowed out of a institution after this.
Yeah.
He's been institutionalized? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, well, couldn't being institutionalized just, like, me being in college for the rest of my life? That's an institution?
I guess so. But,
another funny thing I saw
was, he's a billionaire.
Talking about that was, I don't even know who this guy was, but I don't have my computer open, but basically I'll tell you what it is. But there was this funny ass article that I didn't even read, but it was just on my Google News, and it was from Men's Journal, and it just, what was it? Oh, it was, I think the title of the article was Billionaire Comes Out as Gay. And I just want to talk about that like, if you are a billionaire and you come out as gay, like, Men's Journal is going to get it. Article about it, or if you're a woman billionaire that comes out as lesbian, like, Women's Journal will write an article about it. And the article is probably just saying, like, oh yeah, like, he created this, and he was married to a girl, and now he's gay.
I saw it's Barry Diller. But when I first saw you wrote this as a topic, I was like, wait, is he the first gay billionaire? Because the gays need to get their bands up. But there's many gay billionaires, right?
I don't know.
For sure. He just came out as gay, and everyone was like, oh my God, always... oh yeah. But there's definitely some openly gay billionaires. Like, I feel like gays always get their bands up.
Well, I always get mind boggled. This leads me to this whole thing. I always get mind boggled when people are like, this is the first lesbian ice skater. And I'm like, what? That can't be true. But then I realize this. That actually is true. Like, the first openly gay or lesbian ice skater. I just made up this whole story, but then I always think to myself, okay, but because I get scared, I'm like, wait, like, there wasn't lesbians before this? But then I realize, like, oh, it's because it's so open and people are more open-minded. But I always get scared thinking, like, wait, like, the reason why I get scared is because I'm like, I hoped as a award that way more lesbians were getting awards as ice skaters. So then, but then I think like, oh, okay, okay. Then the relief goes away, and I'm like, yeah. Okay. So many lesbians have gotten awards for ice skating; they just haven't came out, or they've been hidden their entire life.
But now that I think about it, there's a lot of public gay billionaires. Tim Cook is a twink person. He owns Apple, or he's like the CEO. He's obviously a billionaire if he's the CEO of Apple, right?
No, I think he said he lives in a trailer. I'm joking.
Sam Altman, founder of ChatGPT, gay. So yeah.
Okay.
But I, now that I see that you said Barry Diller, I actually saw this and I think he was married to, do you know the fashion brand DVF? Diane Von Furstenberg or something?
Is that like a TJ Maxx brand or like a high fashion? Oh, okay, okay.
But they were married. And then now I'm wondering, like, was it more of a lavender marriage? Like, since she's a high fashion girly, like, was it like, she obviously can spot a gay, like, a squirrel spots a nut. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question.
I feel like she knew he was gay, the whole marriage. And it was like, we've already talked about this. A lot of girls, their dream would be to marry a gay guy. And then some gay guys like Barry Diller, like maybe he wanted to be married to a chic girl, even though he's gay.
Yeah.
They both fiddle on the side.
And then maybe he just got to a point where he was like, oh yeah, like, am I gonna like really be gay now, I guess.
I could picture he keeps going on Grindr and like they keep saying, this is a catfish. And then he's like, maybe if I come out publicly as gay, they'll let me stay on.
Yeah.
But go Barry Diller, a new gay in the house, and he's a billionaire.
Congrats.
We love praising billionaires on this podcast. You know what? I'm gonna say it. One listener of this podcast, and it might be you, is going to become a billionaire.
You actually think so?
I think I just secreted it. You listening in those little earphones, it might be you. This is like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. One Bro Show listener is going to get the golden ticket and become the first Bro Show billionaire. Do you think any billionaires have ever listened to this podcast?
I mean, maybe I'm just, maybe I just don't understand it, but like, wouldn't probably, like, I don't know, I'm not saying listened, like, but for sure, like, listen to 20
maybe
minutes.
Maybe a descendant of a billionaire, so they're technically a billionaire.
So it's been a thing, it's been a trend on this podcast, or just a show on this podcast, talking about things that we misunderstood, just in life.
Oh, yeah.
Phrases, words.
What was the main one we said?
I remember the funniest one was, so to speak.
So we all know so to speak. Somebody thought it was soda speak, like soda pop, the fountain drink, so to speak. And it makes sense when people get these wrong because we were saying like soda speak, like you maybe they actually thought like, oh, when you're drinking soda, you speak in certain ways. And then you kind of just brush it off because there's so many sayings that don't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know what the original one was. It was something that I said.
I think it was soda speak.
No, that someone else said that.
Oh, but you had one.
I brought it up saying something.
Oh, but you did have one.
It was like
a
month ago. So I kind of forgot because we talk about so much shit, but
I forgot what it was.
But
now.
Yeah, someone emailed us and said, nip this in the bud. You know how that's all? Okay, so I should probably phrase this differently. So they said they just started reading a book. So this could be why, but they used nip this in the bud. Nip this in the bud. I always thought it was nip this in the butt. Okay, now this one really rang true, and we had to talk about it in the podcast. Because I always thought it was nip this in the butt.
You thought the same thing as them?
It's nip this in the bud?
Yeah, you actually thought it was butt too. That actually is not even weird because that makes sense. Like, people cut their dogs' tails off. We're not for that, but like, nip it in the bud. Like, I feel like if you nip it in the butt to make sense to me.
Wait, you thought you didn't know it was nip it? You knew it was nip it in the bud?
Yeah, I'm not even trying to like pretend like, oh, I have a PhD. But
did you realize this later when you were reading a book or like even when you were like 16, you knew this?
I honestly don't know when I knew it, but I always picture like someone cutting a plant because okay. A bud is like,
yeah,
a plant.
Yeah, that's
thing,
what
right?
I think the origin
but
would
that's
be.
But
this is where it gets weird. Is that this is where it gets weird. So I know the official meaning would be nip this in the bud, but it gets really confusing because there's people everywhere saying nip this in the butt, adults even. So then it gets to this weird thing where it's like, maybe that is just its own phrase now.
Oh, you know, there are certain sayings because everyone says it, like a large portion of people say it wrong. So that actually would just, be a new, that would also be its own thing.
Yeah, because I know you're saying you didn't know, you thought that when you were a little kid, but I know there's adults everywhere that still say, I said in a conversation in the last year, nip this in the butt. Let's so they're at a meeting and say, okay, let's just nip this in the butt and get the problem resolved.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like most people wouldn't think anything of it. Yes,
oh, for
there
sure.
Could be every now and then someone would do a giggle being like, okay, you said that wrong. I feel like most people wouldn't think anything of it. So then like I was saying, it gets to this weird thing where it's like, maybe it is just its own phrase.
No, I feel like even if I heard anybody say nip this in the butt, I wouldn't really think anything of it. It would, like, it would just immediate, like there wouldn't even be a micro thought. Because it would just, like you said, I feel like they're kind of interchangeable.
Yeah.
Nip it in the bud.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes sense. It be called it, the phrase being nip it in the bud. Because I guess nip it in the butt's kind of inappropriate.
Smoke that bud.
Bud Light, Dylan Mulvaney.
Well, let's nip this podcast in the butt and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.